Hello, Attactioneers. Welcome to the Attack Action Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Morrow, and I'm joined with my best friends, Colin, Zane, and Blake. Blake, how's it going?
I use Steel Blade Shunt and block it all. I will not accept your love or friendship.
Take he also one. Deals one damage back to you.
No, I'm doing great. I had a great weekend, even though I didn't go to Minnesota. It seems like it's possible to balance your life with Fab without traveling every weekend.
That's preposterous.
Yeah, what I'm must that just, be like?
I'm still just thinking about how Taylor's love is a weapon that Blake blocked against.
True.
It is a weapon. Zane, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm tired. I got back from Nats last night, a little after midnight, and worked a full day today, and here we are. Hell yeah. But just so excited to talk about Nats and Rosetta, and yeah, glad to be here with you all. Taylor, how about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I got this new koozie free in the mail. That's just a sock that goes over a whole pint.
Just showed up at your door.
Well, I ordered some socks and then they were like, well, also, here's this koozie. And it's summer vacation right now. So I'm living my best life, which Jeez. Is it's next level.
What'd you call it last year? Was it a summer boy?
Oh, yeah. I'm a summer boy. He's yeah, which is a non-gender denominational. Anybody can be a summer boy.
It's a just, state of mind.
You gotta take the Icelander down off the wall during summer boy season.
Mm.
Put Fi up there.
Yeah,
need Sunlander or something.
That would be awesome. Anyway, here we are.
Colin, you look a year older.
Oh yeah, Colin. What the fuck's going on with you, dude?
Thank you. I am a year older. I'm 40. I did it.
Let's go.
I survived 40 years on this planet, which, to be honest, the survival rate isn't that great in the planet Earth, so I think I did a pretty good job.
You beat all the parrots. You beat all the parrots.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Everything's good. I took a couple of days off last week. Seemed like everything at work was melting while I was gone, but I tried to ignore that and just enjoy my time. We ate a bunch of good food. Blake came to my party where we went to Koreatown and had Korean barbecue, and then we sang karaoke and drank a whole lot of soju. I was pretty hungover yesterday, but it wasn't too bad. It was great. Had a blast. So
tight.
And then I watched a little bit of Nats too in between.
Nice.
Whoa.
Hell yeah. Speaking of Nats, welcome now to episode 91 of our podcast. We're going to be talking about the United States of America Flesh and Blood National Tournament 2024.
Land of the free. Free matchups for all the Zen players out there. Free matchups for all no the spoilers. Enigma players out there.
No spoilers. No spoilers. But before we get to kind of our main topic and stuff, there is a lot to talk about. Some plugs. So, look, I don't know how to say this any other way than if you enjoy our content and find it meaningful, join our Patreon. Now, see, I'm in party mode from freaking Colin's birthday, which I didn't attend, and my summer boy vibe right now. Join it. That would be great. You get access to the Discord. It's popping off in there all of the time. It's really great. Yeah, join that. Like and subscribe to everything. Tell a friend. Colin has started a new campaign where you just, as of right now, in 3 seconds, you just yell out wherever you are, the Attack Action Podcast, and boom, we've been getting more subscribers, more members in our Patreon. So it is working. Continue that campaign. It's helping us a ton. We appreciate that.
I think one of our Patreons got top 8 at Nats or something. So like, it's clearly the thing you're missing out on to take you to the next level.
It's true. We'll save that for the shout outs though.
Oh, okay.
Also, we are doing a new, we debated on it And then it came into fruition. Apparently, I can't talk. I have talked to hardly anybody today because my wife is gone and my dog was gone. And so you are really the first people I've really interacted with. I had a really jarring moment at the store where they were like asking me questions and I was like, what? Answered them really slow. Like,
take away.
Yeah, you can see my ID. That makes sense. I'm buying booze, you know, like that. And
with anyway. That mustache, you do not need to be
carded. Dude, I hate getting carded. Anyway, we've started
it's
a new
it's
thing.
It's my job, sir. It's my job. I do it to everyone, no matter how old they look.
That's why you're employee of the month, Blake. We're doing a new thing, God damn it. And we did it. And we did live news show on YouTube, which we're still workshopping the name, but right now it's the Wraith News. Wait, what is it called?
Wraith Action News.
Wraith Action News.
RAN. So if you want to make a cool logo that's RAN, do it. That's also a way you could support us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So you could go check that live, just stream of consciousness, kind of freak out, me, Colin, and Blake did, about the announcement of Rosetta, the new set coming out. We're going to get Zane's hot takes here in a second. But if you want to go watch that, go watch it on the YouTube. Only place you can find it. Not going in the RSS feed. So,
wow. I was going to ask if we're going to do that, but you just said it. So now it is.
Fuck it.
Check it out. Check us out on YouTube.
You guys did a great job. I watched it today.
Tight. Thank you, Zane.
Zane, you're going to stick around if you keep saying stuff like that.
I just like how it starts with me being like, oh, it started because I thought I started it. And then I realized I had to push the button that said start stream, even though it looked like I was already streaming to YouTube. It's quite complicated. So, but the audio worked, so that was nice. But yeah.
Perfect.
Check it out.
Okay. Before the main topic, that's all I got stuff. I hope I didn't forget anything. Shout outs. Who's got shout outs?
I mean, I think we got a shout out Reese for coming in 14th place at U.S. National Championship. That is the Attack Action Podcast bump you get from being one of our patron supporters. It is not guaranteed, but it can't be denied that it's happened now. So
it's happened a lot.
Yeah, it's true. It's not the first time someone who likes us did well at a good tournament.
60% of the time, it works every time.
And that's Blake correct. Will think you actually got top eight and won't remember that it was 14 unless told.
Hey.
Reese was right there, really though. Well. Reese is a really nice dude. I played him in Battle Hardened San Francisco, and he's just now, like, you know, he's been on Bolt and Sabres forever, and that's what he's playing at Nats. And it's now that deck's time to shine, and it's like kind of slightly better, I think, than the other Saber Warriors.
Though, right? I thought it was
axes. Oh yeah, sorry, hatchets. Yeah. Man, I suck at podcasting today.
It's cool. Take a back seat.
It was dope. Like, I saw him doing axes, and I was like, "All right, this is like the Bolton that I'm like, into."
It's tight. Like, go watch it.
Bill and Blood, Blade Fury, Flurry. Whatever.
It'd be cool if Bolton got a specialization where it was like, and axes have +1 or something that gave a reason to not just saber, or like I think Warriors always too worried about breaking something that they don't even get halfway close to breaking. So like, give the next Bolton specialization, put some axes on it, and Reese will win something.
What's really sick about that deck is you can go hatchet, pump the next hatchet. Or just hatchet's pumped. And then you can use Bolton's ability because the second hatchet is pumped to give it go again. And then you come in with CNC and you're like, get fucked. That's pretty fun.
He only runs one chess piece too. So he doesn't have tunic. I think this is the right list I was looking at of like, I don't know if this is a secret, but it's only the soulbound resolve of like, I just need two soul and now I can start going the rest of the time. I'm like, okay, this is sick. Like,
yeah,
we're cool. Making our own go again here.
He smoked me at Battle Hardened San Francisco. For sure. Got smoked.
Like a little Taylor Cigarillo.
Summer boy vibes. Let's go. Summer boy
vibes. This summer boy underwear is just bothering me and it's throwing me off my game.
Okay, shout outs to who else? Who else? There are some people that got close to top eight. Evan got like 13th or 14th at the calling. So that was pretty cool to watch him be hyped until I think he blew it in the second to last round against Yuki. And he's like, God dang it. And then the robot guy, Colin, from our locals, he won the ProQuest on the Friday, ProQuest Plus with Kasai, which people are like, that's super cool. And I was like, if you're a basketball fan, it's like winning the NIT, I think. But like some people put NIT banners up. I don't know.
It's still a thing you win, okay?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to win. Like a lot of those people are just playing the calling. And I think he was like the only Kasai, which is crazy. I mean, Kasai is like, you know, very strong, but maybe not well positioned. And Colin doesn't care. He's just ready to bring it in and win. So congrats to him.
Because I think the difference between are you playing Kasai? You know, you are playing a robot. Of, I don't think there's someone more patient and more like, do they have it? I think you can just guarantee like he's playing that deck at 99.99% at all times, which is super annoying to play against every Tuesday. But like to do that and win a tournament when the 400 best players are somewhere else. It makes sense. Dude. Go for it. LL points for Kasai.
Shout out to Oliver Five for top eighting another calling. Our boy, nice. Friend of the pod, and teammate of Zane's.
He used to be on our podcast like six times ago for Cube.
Yeah. Prolific Cuber, actually, related to that. He lost round one of day two, and I had to convince him that we were not going to cube with him. He can't drop. He was only X2 at the time, and his initial instinct was to drop and play cube. And I'm like, Oliver, we're not going to cube with you. You're going to play the calling. You're going to make top eight. And he did. So.
And, nice. And we call this instance Cubers Rise Up. You know?
another Cuber who rose up was Nia Tran. Shout out Nia. He made it all the way to the finals of the calling. Just an incredible showing on Zen, who he switched to last minute. Nia and I have been playing Azalea the last however long, and he just made the last second call to switch to Zen, and clearly that was the right choice. So congrats to him.
From Canada. My last shout out goes to Blake because I'm going to be staying with Blake very soon in Los Angeles. I'm going to Los Angeles, everybody. So if you want to hang out, hit me up.
That's twice this year already. It's crazy.
I love LA now. You know,
summer bowl. I love LA.
We got it.
What are you going to do when you're here, though?
I'm going to play in the AGE Open and draft some Misfail.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to go to these fabled armories that are basically ProQuest Pluses or callings.
One more shout out, actually, or for me at least.
Perfect.
Justin Luog, Mr. Arcane Games and Events. Okay. If you don't watch limited coverage, you know, you're like one of those people who only watches Constructed. Watch the June AGE. He's cooked up some sauce to make the coverage interesting. And he was like meeting with LSS and stuff in Minneapolis. And he's done some cool stuff. So tune in in June. You'll be impressed.
Nice.
Colin, you're going to do commentary for that one?
I haven't been invited, so I don't know. This year, literally after the first one, every single one has conflicted with a major life thing or work thing.
Maybe Taylor's actually coming to commentate.
Yeah, he just didn't want to tell us.
Well, when I 0-3 my draft pod, yes.
Get me in that booth, bro. I mean, good luck trying to make limited interesting. Yeah, I think that will be hard, so kudos.
This format's sick.
No way, it's good format. I'm with Zane. Speaking of format, Any more shout outs? Because let's fucking get to the main topic here.
There's four Matts that I want to talk about. Matt McGinnis, he won a couple games and dropped. What's another Matt? Matt, folks, he didn't win US Nats. Take that, brother. We gotcha. I always like doing tweets about people that don't live in America and how bad they are at US Nats and how they'll always lose. That's always a fun, that's right up my humor. And two other Matts.
Matt Vohr.
You know who you are.
Oh, Matt Vohr. He lost. He didn't win either. Evan Matt Herndon. He won. Good for him.
Spoiler.
EMH. Yeah. Let's go. All right. Let's do it. Let's cruise to the main topic and talk about the U.S. National Championship 2024.
Colin, hit us with the meta breakdown.
Boom. Now I got to pick the button that I like. This Bang. Is the button that I like. Boom,
whoa, we got our hands over there. Look at that.
We've upgraded. We're trying some stuff out. Look at this. Day one, meta breakdown, 474 players. Nice. Zen coming at the nice at the top. Azalea, second, tied with KO. New has a strong flow. I mean, it's crazy that I think this is the most impactful new set we've seen. Mm-hmm. That all of the new heroes are in the top five most played heroes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I thought we were powering down our game less than a couple months ago.
Only for the heroes you like. So get in line.
Reinar's bitch.
Yeah. It's so funny too. I like... We'll talk about this, but like Zen, you're like, oh, I don't know, he's just kind of like, maybe he's like a little one. No, just makes tigers. It's like, well, apparently tigers are really good when you can,
it's
just
a strong one note.
But yeah, lots of Kanos as usual. And then, you know, trickles down. We have the lurkers, Arachne down there. We got Dashio down there, Mr. Fantastic, Teclovassan down there, and the single Olympia. But pretty good spread across the entire cast. But yeah, very, very exciting to see all Mistvale heroes coming in strong. And pretty viable, except for New, maybe. I didn't see a lot of New actually do well.
There's a smattering of them in the like top 35, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Like they were doing it. It's just a hard deck. Shout out to the lone Arachne, whoever you are.
Yeah.
You're my brother.
Hit us up. Let us know who you were.
Check it out.
If he's Arachne. The same lone Arachne from last year, he's from Florida. But I don't know.
It's pronounced Flo-Rida.
Oh, sorry.
Also, speaking of Arachne, next time everybody sees me, I will have a new tattoo.
Ooh.
Wait, is it of what? Me?
Yeah, I'm getting Colin's face. Right in the front of my neck,
wearing the mask of perdition. Yeah. Slightly askew.
Yeah, like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah,
dude, wow, I am cool.
You I are no cool idea. Yeah, I'm telling you all now. Yeah, pretty, I mean, it's, this is kind of what we all I think had predicted that would happen, with Zen being the clear best deck and, you know, the Azaleas being there to
kill him,
stop them. And then KO is just still a really good deck that everybody has a ton of reps on. You know, the old guard from the old meta, of course, those heroes are still going to be around. And then, you know, New is also a really good, I think, theoretical counter to Zen. And then, you know, Enigma, also a very powerful hero that you kind of have to have some specifics to be able to combat it. So it makes sense that those are the kind of top five. And then, you know, everybody else there is, I'm surprised to see 16
Riptides
in the,
totally
the same amount of Riptides as Victors, which is just wild.
Yeah. I think the second line here is like, pretty interesting because it's Kano, New Prism, Levia, Riptide, and Victor. Like, that's a pretty interesting, like, you know, because everything below that is like a couple players each. But yeah, I thought that was cool.
So Zane, when you see this number, if you could take yourself out of it, now Azalea's 57. Would you pick a different hero after seeing this meta, or would you lock Azalea right back in?
I think I'd re-lock Azalea. I just don't have enough meaningful reps on misfail heroes. And then as you're seeing from the top row, like that's kind of where you want to be, is like playing either a misfail hero or Azalea. KO obviously is great too, and I just, he doesn't click with me, but that's okay. If I had to play a different deck, it would either be Levaya or Zen. I think they both are incredibly strong. I think Levaya's armor suite is, again, just unbelievable, and then Zen's output is insane. But I would register Azalea right back. Yeah,
sounds cool.
There he is.
Yeah, get it. Yeah,
I do think that 26 Kano is noteworthy. Like that is a lot.
Obviously,
the top five are like far and away the most, but sixth most at Kano, and 26 is like, that's a lot. And we saw it, like the Kanos did very well. Look at that. If you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, there's some new live special effect.
We're figuring some stuff out.
Colin is adding in because he's bored.
No, I just thought it was fun. I'm going to start quoting you guys and putting you as scrolling tickers on the bottom of the screen.
It's pretty good.
Local man says
Zane's output is insane. You were talking about Kano, Zane.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kindle really turns the volume up, turns the heat up, I should say, of what Kano can do. Like I was sitting next to a wildfire for 9 this weekend, which we're pretty comfortable seeing wildfires for 6. But a Kindle Foresight wildfire hits a little different.
That's sick.
It has some implications on, I know people have had, it's kind of created a bit of a divide where like the stack Kanos and the tempo Kanos have kind of gone 2 different directions on how they feel about Kindle. But anyways, having multiple options is always good. And Kindle is obviously so powerful that any buff is going to help you out. So I got blown up by a Kano. It's a very strong deck right now. I think it's like probably the second strongest deck. If I like it's second or third, like honestly, I think it's an incredibly strong deck right now.
Yeah. And there's like an army of people just getting better and better at Kano, which is terrifying. I feel like that's a reason its numbers are down historically, is just it's been a hero that is hard to play for everybody, but there's just so much more content and more people spreading the gospel now that it's becoming a thing, you know? Totally. One of my favorite games on stream was a Riptide versus Joshua Lau on Dorinthia, and that was freaking sweet. It was like exactly how everyone imagined Riptide winning in games, where they're like almost dead, but it's just like boom, trap, damage, boom, trap, damage, boom, trap, damage. And then boom, trap, you died and I'm still alive, which is just boom, freaking sweet. So, and I think if we looked at the numbers for day 2, Riptide actually had a really good conversion rate, but always the data for
whoa, that was quick. 5 out of 16. That's almost a third. Oh, that was quick, Blake. Oh, thanks guys. 1 out of 2 viscerais. Holy crap.
Data is a little weird at the split tournaments, I think, always. So it's like a grain of salt because they have to make day 2 with draft also. And everybody who top 8ed Nats either went undefeated in draft or like CC or had very few losses in both, you know? So just again, you know, both things are really, really important at these types of tournaments.
Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite jokes that came out of the weekend is like traditionally Kano players are so one note, they're not even good at draft. And like the Kano players, when they posted, they're like, I went 2-1 in draft or I went 3-0 in draft. There, Carol from LSS was like, oh no, the wizard players are learning how to draft or whatever. Nothing can hold them back anymore.
Dude, shout out to Carol. Carol's awesome. Dude, yeah. I think I've missed the boat on being a good Kano player because now it's just like a thing that people do. Like,
nah,
they only play Kano.
It's never too late, dude.
Honestly, if you haven't sleeved up Kindle yet, I feel like you're going to kill people randomly a turn earlier, and now you can race some of these people dumping damage on you.
You're going to get 70 and 80 damage faster than you thought possible.
Oh my God. I can't wait. All right. Should we talk about the meta breakdown for draft, or we'll just look at it? It's almost an even split. I guess it doesn't matter.
That I will push back and say this is actually huge. Like, and I think that this is not historically like what happens. That was sick.
I didn't even see it.
It's first day.
This is really good, and I think that a subtle impact of the 30 card limit in the format has actually caused more of this, where you can stay open a little bit longer. You can kind of read your seat a bit better and create a better distribution because you don't need 36 card piles. You have to play 30, so you can quote unquote waste a few picks and still have a strong deck. And I think that, you know, this is a result of the set, of course, being fairly balanced, but also that 30 card limit is great.
Zen looks kind of crazy in his young art. I never looked as close at it.
Man, he's intense.
He's intense, dude. Yeah. He's a very calm, intense guy. I think this is huge. Like, for it to basically be one third is a really big deal for sure. And we haven't, I mean, I feel like in Outsiders is the last time I remember it happening. They were like, see, everybody's doing everything, and I was like, are they though? You're just showing who's won, not who's played, you know what? Yeah, I mean,
there was definitely more Azuri back then than anything else.
Totally. And now they're showing how many players registered, which I think is good. It's cool.
I think there's a layer of this where everyone on Twitter, this is where I consume all my stuff. Who knows if it's real? I'm not on a pro team. I talk with my Discord with my friends in California. I talk with my Discord with the podcast. But like, stuff I've heard was new is obviously the worst. So you're not going to be forcing new. There's going to be people forcing Enigma. The number one card you can get is probably Manifestations of Moragai. There's not that card for new. And so that makes a little bit sense of when your $10,000 tournament's on the line, are you going to be a new player or are you going to force your way out of it and hope like a Just a Nick is only good in certain circumstances? Or yes, you could. Oh, I got one Just a Nick. Maybe I can use this and kill three people. Like, what was going through your mind when you were drafting Zane?
So this is like approximately the spread I would have expected. I would have thought new would have been less. So I was hoping to go new. And then a little context is I haven't played zero games in this format going into Nationals draft. I missed pre-release because I was out of town. San Diego can't get a draft to fire to save our life at the moment, which is just crushing. But I was like, okay, I play Assassin. Like, I'll just draft new if it's open. Like, I'll take generics and see how it goes. And either I overvalue generics or people in my pod undervalue generics, but nine picks in and eight of my nine cards are generic. I had four Bastion. I had like two yellow, two blue Bastion. I had two red fact-finding missions. I had like an emissary. So I was just like, I don't know. And then late in the pack, there was like a pack with three illusionist commons. And I was like, okay, I'll be the illusionist, I guess, like the one I kind of didn't want to be. But I kind of just played like Point Goblin, Icelander, two card seven as much as I could. And I don't know. I had a lot of fun drafting Enigma, but I wanted to be new. Didn't end up being new. Should have been new because the guy who won our pod was on new. But I played him in the finals and his deck was very good. And I had a very like just kind of mediocre pile that I could Point Goblin my way through.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I had a great time. Like, you shouldn't have your first draft experience in a competitive event, but stuff happens and I did. And, you know, I really enjoyed playing the format. when you guys drafted, do you have like a strong lean, or do you like to try to draft your seat?
I try to draft my seat usually, and if that feels more correct in this format. I tried it a lot in heavy hitters, like drafting my seat, but I think most of the time I should have just forced Warrior. Seemed like kind of the one of the moves. But in this set, there's, and this is my experience, is that, and we kind of see it on stream too, is that there's a kind of a few archetype issues mm-hmm. for everybody. The cards are flexible enough to where you can have like a new deck or a Zen deck or an Enigma deck that is atypical and really functional, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool. Like, who was it? We saw Aaron. Was it Aaron? Had like a blue heavy Zen deck where he was like, what is it? What's the one for three that gets plus two, goes to five if you've played blue?
Spillover.
He drafted a number of those and path well traveled and used that as a
attack reaction, kind of.
Yeah, as a combat trick, and then would like do a bunch of other stuff after that, which was really good and hides information, and was clearly a couple of cards that were maybe like undervalued, or he just gobbled them up or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. And he 3-0'd that pod on that archetype. And I think what Zane did too, where you can have a really generic heavy, the generics are good enough to where they can kind of be your bread and butter of any of the three heroes too, is something that can happen as well. So that's my long answer to your question.
I've drafted a couple times. I keep getting really good Enigma Majestics in pack one, pick one. And you're like, I literally cannot pass this. Like, if there's a Moragai in your pack, you have to do it.
Yeah.
And then the second time around, I think I got a Rage Spectre in pack one. And it's like, that's not going anywhere. And like, I think that was more of a sealed pull. So maybe I've only drafted once or twice. But like, in limited format in the past, like I've used a Rage Spectre and kept it alive for four turns in a row.
Yeah.
And you're just like, the bombs are in that class. I don't think I'm good enough at Ninja to know which cards are better than all of my seven opponents. Like, I haven't spent the Ninja time, and like, that's where I'm like, oh, maybe I can get ahead on new, but news cards are all so like, the blues are exactly the same. Why are you playing yellows? And the reds are exactly the same. And like, is there enough points for you to get? Like, do you have the slither and it work? Or do you have the Fang Strike and you get the most mileage out of your Fang Strike or not? And that's something that I think is pretty hard when they have all those defensive equipment. Like, there are some offensive equipment. I almost said there's no offensive equipment, but like, even the offensive equipment have ward on them. So it's I'm going to flip this over and block one of your damage. You're like, God, stop. I'm trying to kill you. Like, why is this happening? But I've heard that there's like a secret strategy for a couple of these that like some people kept close to the chest and it worked really well for them in nationals. And maybe you'll see it on AGE. Who knows? That'll be the only televised thing or whatever. But like, I think it is, this is, when you do draft this, it does feel like, am I going to have enough chi cards? Like, I need to play a hero that has enough chi. And if somebody, I was sharing this story, like somebody took four chi and I only got two, because you're supposed, everyone has three allocated basically. And somebody else was saying, somebody in my pod took six chi and nobody hero powered in our pod for like two whole rounds because we just don't have the chi. And it was like, who that, like, screw that guy. But then somebody with really low chi, like the one chi they had was the winning turn, and like they were complaining how bad their deck was, but then they win the pod. You're just like, what?
I think that's what's really cool about the 30 card limit is you can hate draft. Like, you have picks to give up.
Yes. And as Enigma, you should be hate drafting pick to pieces at some point.
Yeah, it's sick. It's cool.
That's mean. Don't listen to that. Colin, we are 35 minutes and 56 seconds in. Take that out.
We're editing it out.
Jeez. Well, if you show up tomorrow, Colin, there's a draft at Odyssey.
I really want to. I think I'll be able to.
Great.
Colin, you should go.
This format is very fun. You will have fun.
I want to. It's not that I don't want to. It's that life keeps preventing me. Life keeps finding a way of not letting me go to
life to keeps saying Kikoi. Kikoi.
But to answer Zane's question earlier, I have been trying for the past couple sets to learn how to draft my seat because that was not something I was ever very familiar with. And I like doing that because it feels like, you know, I get the cards I want, like, you know, I'm paying attention to what's going around. And then I just find out that everyone around me just forced whatever the fuck they wanted to. And you're just like, why can't we all just agree to like try to do this like amicably in the best way possible? But then, you know, you just have chaos, evil, you know, chaotic, evil motherfuckers coming in here and like ruining your day. But I do like it because every now and then I'll just force something because like, well, I want to play this here and I haven't had a chance to do it, you know, and
yeah,
and I'm just going to do it because otherwise if I read my seat, I'm probably just gonna get stuck on the thing that nobody else wants to play. But
sometimes you win the pod because nobody wants to play it.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I would do that if I was better at playing this game, but that's TBD.
I shared this story on a Discord, but like my literal first time ever doing, I didn't play any of the weekend stuff, and because they were drafting afterwards, and like some people are playing it online. I was like, this is my first time. Pack one, pick one, Maragai, and Evan grabs the pack from me, and he goes, I can already tell you're forcing Enigma. And I was like, you bitch, shut up. Like if I don't play this card, I'm stupid. And it was like, of course, Blake forced Enigma. And it was like, no, here's my Majestic.
That's not forcing. That is knowing your seat. And if your seat is, I have the best card in the set in my first pack, that is now your seat.
Yeah.
Like,
cause you need those.
That's not forcing
to determine their seats. Like,
and right? It's important like that someone important. It's important. Like, yeah. What you're saying, Colin, like it's important that someone at the table does that early. Cause like somebody will, right? Like of the eight packs, there's going to be something unusually strong, even if it says low powered as like a red double trouble. But like, if you see red double trouble, you likely slam it and then just go. And then, and if your first pack doesn't have that, then you take Bastion and you wait to see what other people are doing. And so it requires like the teamwork of, oh, my pack one had a bomb and my pack one didn't, to kind of understand each other and communicate as best as you can without talking. So that's not forcing. That's good drafting.
Yeah. That's what I like about draft, is all of those. That's the game, right? The first half of the game is the chaos of figuring out how to deck build on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah, totally.
And then next
time we do this, it's going to be all getting all the amps cards because we don't want the rune chance of our opponents to come in for five arcane when there's no arcane barrier in the set and it's just a race to do 20 arcane damage to your opponents. I can't wait.
Good pivot out of draft into the Rosetta. This makes no sense contextually or flow wise, but I do want to get Zane's take on the announcement of the new set Rosetta.
Oh
yeah. I mean, as a owner of a Tales of Aria uncut sheet and a avid Lexi stan, I could not be more excited to go back to Aria. I think what they've kind of done was splitting Briar into two, which obviously is not exactly what they did, but it's more or less what they did.
Just, I think, cut her in half and said you could have Bri and R.
Which is about right, given how strong her hero text was. But yeah, I think that like flavor-wise, I'm all here for this. I love the like elemental seasonal vibe. Like they all kind of have a different season flavor. Florian looks sick. Yeah, Blake blew my mind on the live show with his theory. Go watch it. I'm not going to spoil it.
Tight.
But yeah, I'm thrilled. I am like hesitant about how you're going to make two wizards and then like make that all work in a balanced limited format. Like, I think it's going to be very difficult to have all four heroes like match up okay into each other. Like, or is it going to be like, oh, I'm playing Florian and oh, he's on Osilio and I'm screwed. You know, I hope that's not the case. But the task of balancing these heroes is daunting. But
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to print Null Rune in this set?
Oh, I hope so. Or something. Or like, okay. So I think one of the best design things they've ever done is Quell. Mm. Like for the limited form, I think Quell was like inspired. And like Quell doesn't work so good with this, but if there's something like that where like you can activate it and then like every turn it gets like more expensive or something, like, you know, you can AB1 this turn and the next turn it would cost you 2 to AB1, or next turn it costs you 3 or something like that, you know, to just like be AB, but not just strictly just Null Rune, because Null Rune is obviously very powerful.
Because if they combined Arcane Barrier and Spell Void together, where you can pitch into this as much as you want, but it breaks on the spell. Like, you could block a 6 damage spell with 2 blues, but you're using your headpiece to do it, and it has an X value, and then it breaks. I'm like, oh, okay, that's maybe like some decision you can do.
Totally, yeah. Or like, and maybe there's a token similar to Helios Mitre, and that's how they work around Wizard, because obviously like you don't want to just be the guy who never sees Null Rune in your whole draft and you're like, okay, cool, I guess I lose. But yeah, I think there's a lot of like axes that they have to play with, and clearly these heroes have like very different strengths. Like, I don't think Florian and Aurora are really going to be fighting for the exact same cards. I think they have different approaches, and yeah, I'm just curious to see.
Tight. Dude, you're curious? I'm curious. Because I think what's cool is you see on those like generic ice cards, and they're not generic, the specific ice cards that were in Uprising that weren't in the other thing, like Eisenhower Weather Vane, Bleak Expanse. Like, we see our other channels. So I think it's something where you can go look at those ice cards that showed up and like just thinking of like, Are these lightning heroes about to be doing 6 or 7 chain links because they have like ways to draw 5 cards and do cool things, or like, dare we say, ball lightning, or like arcane ball lightning? Arcane ball lightning is just that one card, wildfire. But it's like, it's something where I'm like, I like that we're filling in the boxes of stuff we've seen. We've seen wizards. We've seen Earth. Now we're doing what would be in between. And I think that's cooler than, can you come up with your own version of a mystic hero before you know what mystic is?
Yeah.
Like, I can't. But now in the future, when there's a mystic wizard set, we're going to go, now that I know all of my 4 wizards that have been out, what could a mystic wizard? Like, I like that because we've been participating in this game for 5 years, we're getting rewarded with like, this shit's going to be cool. We could also be surprised. I don't know. I think that's something where I haven't been a 5-year member of any other TCGs. And like, this is where I'm like, oh, this is the meat and potatoes years where maybe I'm not flabbergasted by everything, but it's kind of cool where it's like, because I put in that 6 months of playing Icelander before she got ice spell cards, I have such a huge advantage whenever I start playing Verdance. Of I'm going to be playing tall spell Verdance quick, and it's going to feel like I ate Ratatouille and turned into a 10-year-old boy from Pixar's Ratatouille.
That reference made sense. Totally. And this has been Rosetta Corner with Zane and his guest Blake. back to Nationals. As I segue into kind of Zane's weekend recap here, I will say the coverage and the commentary was, I think, some of the best we've ever had. I really loved Pankaj and Lindquist. They were a great duo. I liked it every time they were on. Really awesome. And the cameras were great, etc. My one critique, though, if anybody listens, is the zoom in thing we're doing with the camera now to zoom in to a section of the thing is not my favorite and reminds me every time of that like prairie dog gif where it like turns around and zooms in, you know? That's like what it reminds me of every time. It kind of takes me out of the calling in post. If you could put that gif right here, that would be great.
I note the time.
Other than that, which is maybe fun. That is maybe a fun thing that happens. But yeah, great coverage. Excellent job. Zane, you competed in nationals. Tell us about your weekend.
I did. I ended up booking my like flight and planned nationals like literally within a week of nationals happening because I didn't think it was going to be possible. So all that to say, I was a little unprepared, as I mentioned already about my draft. And I was feeling okay about this format, given that Azealia is strong, but I also knew that there's a lot of coin flippy matchups, and Azealia having no armor and cards that don't block well. I knew that a lot of my games were going to be short and maybe have less meaningful decisions than I wanted. And that is what happened. So Nationals day one, feeling good, feeling a little jet lagged and tired, but sit down round one and it's a victor, which is an okay matchup, and was able to get that one. Just kind of sheer pressure and just had the cards I needed, and my opponent couldn't find Test of Strength. We clashed one time in the entire game, and it was like neutral. Like it was a trounce and nobody won. And I was like, a victor's easy when they don't do the thing.
yeah, just a rich asshole.
He wasn't even rich. He couldn't make gold.
He broke.
Didn't have daddy's money. But yeah, then round two, I paired into literally like the guy I'm staying with in the hotel room, like from San Diego. We're staying together. We're both playing Azealia. We're like, if you know Azealia, you know this is like truly god awful matchup. Like it is just miserable.
It's us. It's like us for the people that aren't playing Azealia back at you. It's not just the mirror.
It's so much worse than that. But yes, it's so much worse than that. But yeah. Yeah, so it's genuinely like often comes down to who draws knock first, and he drew knock first, so I took the loss there. So I'm 1-1. It is what it is, kind of out of my control. Then round three, I play a Kano, who lesson and lavas me turn one, and then tutors up Kindle, which I'm like, oh, you can't do that. You have to get an action card off lesson. No, you don't. You can get anything you want. It says wizard card. So he gets tutors a Kindle and proceeds to blow me up for like a ton the next turn with Kindle and Cindering Foresight. I like barely survived the turn and I'm like, this is already over. And then I died like the following turn. So rounds two and three, I was like, come on. I like haven't made a decision in 2 hours that mattered. Which is a little bit of my fault, right? Picking Azealia. That's kind of, I have to know. And then round four, my opponent flips over Azealia, and I'm just like, no. But this time I drew the knock first. So I at least won this one, but it was a unsatisfying day of CC for me. There are good matchups and fun matchups as Azealia right now, but I did not play any of them. And then I went into drafting a set that I had never touched before, which... So I was 2-2 and I was like, man, I have to 3-0. And then as my draft is going, I'm like, this is not a 3-0 deck. But I win my first one against a Zen. I'm another guy from SoCal. He just kind of had too many blues and I was able to keep Ward on board.
What was his name?
Brandon. Shout out Brandon.
Oh, okay.
And then
let's go, Brandon.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Jesus.
And then round two of your draft.
And then round
the ticker going across the bottom of the screen right now.
Jeez.
And then the next round I paired into new. So there's only two news in the pod. And I knew that I had passed a Justinic. So in pack two, I had opened a Justinic, but I also opened red Waxing Spectre, the good one, the aura that you want. So I took that one and I was like, man, I just got to make a mental note that one of these two people to my right has a Justinic. And while that was true, he actually had two Justinic, which is truly unbelievable. And miraculous that I still managed to win this game. The way that I won this game was just like literally like ward is not a part of my plan at all. I'm just going to like block six and send six and until I can try to do a big turn. And then somehow that worked. And then I got to the finals and it was the other new and he drafted like red double trouble pick one, kind of what I was talking about earlier. And his deck was just insane. Like it was double trouble or pick to pieces and double react like every turn and I died. So I got my 2-1, which I was happy with, relatively speaking. But end of the day, 4-3, kind of disappointing, and decided to drop and play the calling.
How'd the calling go?
Started hot. Round one was Azealia, and I was like, this is the worst. This weekend is so cursed. But I was so like annoyed with yesterday or the day before. I was like, all right, I'm just going to offer this guy no red in the ledger. I was like, I put my red in the ledger's face up and I was like, I'll leave him out of my deck if you will. And he said, okay. And then, so we actually played like a real game with decision points, which was great. Nice guy, but my deck just kind of did more damage than his. Then round,
I had six red in the ledger, so it was easy for me.
He's got him. No red in the ledgers were played. It was great.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, if you're an Azealia player out there, just do that. It like it's so much better. It makes the game like actually feel like you're playing.
Will you offer that to the Saber other heroes? Like, when I'm hearing you talk about this, whenever it's Azealia versus another hero, you always draw the knock first.
Okay, here's the difference, right? here's the key difference. As Azealia, you arsenal buffs, right? Or you ponder and you arsenal whatever you get. So now to do anything, literally to do anything, you need two action points. You need to load your bow and you need to shoot. So what happens when you're under red in the ledger? You literally pass turn with five cards. Like you can't do anything. You can play the pump and then pass. You can cross wrap and then pass. Like there's just
nothing on red in the ledger says this only affects other as players. No. What but you're doing to us.
If you're Zen and I red in the ledger, you just CNC me or E strike me for seven or there's meaningful game actions you can take. You know, I red in the ledger a victor and he spinal crushes me for 12 because he has gold main estate. And it's like, wow, that my card is blank. But in the mirror, it's abysmal. Azealia players know. Anyways, round one, we got the win. Round two, I played a max. Or go ahead. You have something?
Yeah, it just wouldn't be a podcast in the Attack Action Podcast phase two if Blake did not come at Zane about his his deck choice.
No, it's fine. I'm having a blast hearing about the inner workings of the horrors of being an Azealia player and how most of it is whenever they play other Azealias.
It's bad, I'm telling you.
I also like how your dog is just staring at the door. Just staring daggers at the door.
Yeah, my wife came home and she can hear her. So she's like, come on, I need to leave this room. So anyway, round one, we get it. Round two, I play a max, which is pretty like favored matchup historically. Like you can definitely lose it if they turbo the robot. But I killed him the turn he was going to robot. So maybe I lose that game if I can't kill him there. But I was able to get there. Then round three, I played a new. We shared a love of Marvel codexes and shiny cards. But we had a good game. I just on a key turn, he drew the all react hand. So his turn was dagger for zero pass. Not much you can do about that because I had dominated a lace with frailty. The next round was a prism. This was fine. I mean, I guess the new game was good. The new game, like, there was a lot of decision points. That was like the first game of the weekend where I'm like, we interacted with each other. I blocked sometimes. I didn't block sometimes. And then round four was Prism. Shout out to this, I forget his name right now, but we had a, he's the guy who runs the Arc Light League. If you listen, you know who you are. Barrett, maybe. But this game was crazy. This was like nail biter. We almost went to time, not to time, but like there was like 3 minutes left. It was 1-1. Sick game, but I ended up taking it with Merkmeyer. So I'm 4-0, feeling good. Like, okay. Then I pair into a Zen, which, you know, it's favored, but it's, they can blow you up. And I, in my hand, this is like turn two, I have two pumps, a yellow and red ledger, and then Arsenal, I have a pump. So I'm like, okay, I'm just, whatever you do, I'm ignoring it. He deals like 12. He plays warmongers. Okay. Then, you know, this, you deal with this. What can you do?
Just ignore the warmongers, baby.
So
who cares?
Well, funny you say that. So I pass the turn with five cards. I do nothing. Then his next turn, he does like 12 damage, and then he plays warmongers, which a keen-eared
the Del Taco special
would know you can't do that. I did not notice it in the moment. The warmongers was like multiple cards deep in the graveyard. It slipped my mind. This is not something that comes up that often. Whatever. I'm a little tilted that it's two warmongers. I didn't block with a single card. I'm just holding this like perfect hand that I can't use. Pass turn again with five cards. So my two turns, I've done no game actions. Third turn, I'm not kidding you, it's the same turn. It's 12 damage into warmongers. And I'm just like, okay, I guess this is how my like tournament ends. And then I pass the turn. And then as soon as I pass the turn, I'm like, wait, you're under war. You can't play warmongers. And then we call a judge, whatever. I think it was an honest mistake. Like, I do. I think it was just, we're tired. It happens. Like, a lot of new ninja players. But the penalties in IP2, even though it happened twice, which I think is like, we need to make a note of that and like maybe up that, because as a Zen player, like, that's worth it. Like, if the penalties in IP2 to time walk your opponent twice, like, don't do it, but. I mean,
right.
If you need to, I don't know. Like that seems like a loophole to me. I mean, and again, I don't think my opponent was malicious, but so anyways, I lose the game. And you know, wasn't particularly close. And I think I win that game pretty comfortably if I'm able to have the turn on the second warmongers.
But yeah.
Whatever.
Taking 24 damage happened without doing anything is pretty rough.
Yeah. And that happened locally at an AGE, and like that's the joke of Del Taco and Alan from San Diego are sitting there like, he's warmongered me three times in a row. And I was just like, well, that's weird, because you can't play two in a row if you choose war. And they both looked at each other and were like,
yeah. And so actually related to that,
and they just gave him a game loss immediately. It was like,
okay, so that's what I thought that happened. But they actually gave him an IP2 and he conceded. Because he was like, no.
Oh, okay.
And so this actually is relevant, because I heard the story the same way that you did, which I heard, oh, he got a game loss. And so like when I called the judge, they're like, oh, it's an IP2. I was like, there's literally no way. So like especially at a calling, like this is like should be higher competitive level. So I appealed to the like the main judge, which I have literally never appealed any call or judge anything.
Ooh, how was it?
The guy just came over and said the same thing, which like I guess is the policy. I just think that the policy is like,
yeah,
very lenient. And he did say like, we understand it's not perfect. And we know that like the impact can be bigger or smaller, where this, in this case, it was like obscenely massive, of like three time walks consecutively. But
that's also a sentence that was on a slide, I'm sure, in some sort of training.
Of course. Yes.
I mean, this is what you say.
It's deep. It's lodged in there, but. Anyway, so lose the
something
game.
Something has
fine.
To be lodged in these judges' heads. Hopefully it's knowledge.
I had no bad judge rulings all weekend. All of them were correct. That one is just like the policy is probably bad. Next round, Zen. Now, take a guess what happens in this game.
Warmongers.
He draws his knock first.
He plays Warmongers. He plays Warmongers. I'm able to have a turn this time, thank God, because I arsenal the Bolton shot.
Hell yeah.
The next turn, take a gander. 12 damage. Warmongers. And I said...
No, I didn't judge.
I didn't call a judge, but I said, put that stupid card back in your hand. So we caught it that time. I won the game. All was right. So I'm 5-1. I'm like, okay, cool. I just need to win one more. I'll make day two. Everything's fine. Then I pair into a KO. I think Sash is stupid and like swung the matchup. I used to feel favored in this matchup. I no longer do. I lose a nail biter. If you watch the stream, my game looked exactly like that. It's closed all the way, and then they grind you out because you can't block. So I lose. So I'm 5-2 now. I need to win the last one to make day two. And I pair into a victor. And this was just like the culmination of my weekend of like every time I opted or drew with Death Dealer, I drew like the wrong type of card. I'm like, every time I opt, I'm like, I want an arrow. It's a pump. Okay, I'll bottom it. I need to draw a pump. It's an arrow. Okay. I want to see an arrow here. It's a pump. Literally like the whole game. And my opponent is just like visiting the gold main estate like every turn and just like attacking for like 14. I'm like, okay. Like, I guess this is just not meant to be. So I lost. Didn't make day two. I was like, wow. After my hot start, just like things really fell off the rails. And again, like this is a higher power meta than we've seen. And I think that, you know, leads to a few more non-games or less interactive games. And I leaned into it a little bit. Like I played a very high variance Azalea deck. Like I took out the Sync Belows. I took out the East Strikes. I took out the CNCs. A lot of the stuff that kind of insulates you. So like I'm part of the problem, but I also like that is the meta that we're in. And I think like to beat Zen, you kind of have to be doing those things. And that's not to say here or there like it's good or bad, but it did unfortunately in this case lead to some less than engaging games over the weekend. But my teammates did well. I had a lot of fun like cheering them on and playing side events after this, and I still had some fun playing the calling and Nats, but definitely a wild meta. I mean, is that how you guys perceived it watching the stream, or did it feel kind of normal?
I think for me, when I'm watching stuff, it does feel like, oh shit, Zen is the one to beat, and they're trying to dodge the Azalea, and then the wild card for me is Enigma of like. Enigma can just completely shut down certain heroes where it's like, just literally walk to my next win, who cares? And then even their grindy matches, Enigma beats you unless you have a solid plan and a bad draw. It sounds like we're talking about illusionists here. And that's just something where you're like, do these illusionist players, when they go to bed at night, go, wow, I kicked 8 people's ass today? Or was it, their cards are just so much better top to bottom, and they don't really have to, we can't even choose the decision of kill Spectra now. And the Rage Spectre hits your opponent 6 times in a row for 7 go again. And you're just like, oh crap. Or your Moragai is now coming in for 12 because you put all the 1/1 counters on it from every possible thing. And it's like, God, look at these decision points I made as Enigma. It's like, bro, if I had these cards in my class,
I think as the person who plays the decks that hunt the other decks, I am excited, you know? Like, it's the beginning part of a meta, so it's like, oh, cool, there's all these, like, little iterations of all of these decks, but here's kind of like the major theme. Okay, let's go into the archives of what the cards are and see if we can find all of the stuff that like can take care of all of these problems. You know what I mean? So that's really good. Nice.
This is how you kill Enigma with new, right? Just play your Razor Reflex on this or your Fang Strike to make it one more. Now you're toast.
Now you're it's toast.
Not just toast. New. Not just new can use that.
It's Azalea too?
Not Azalea.
Zen. It's got a lot of blues.
I can't leak the sauce. I can't leak the sauce.
You can send it to us afterwards.
Yeah, put a little container and then just send it to us.
But it does.
Can we get it to go?
It does, Zane, have a bit of the. Some of the matches for sure are okay. We're just rushing down to like sub 15 life. And now the real game kind of happens.
Yeah, you know? We're going to play a blitz game 2 turns from now.
Yeah.
And until then, I'm going to just go bananas.
But this will be my last point, too. It looked like there were a lot of decks that have potential to have success still. Like we saw, like Riptide did pretty well. We definitely heard rumblings of some of the Mechanologists doing pretty well. I think there's a lot of game in new still. I mean, that deck just has like all of the tools you need to disrupt Zen, especially their hand. And that's like really what you need to be doing. So maybe we're going to be pummeling more. Maybe Azuri will be like more relevant, but those are definitely some of the things that need to be happening is just somebody's got to figure out what the deck is. Yeah. To disrupt everybody else is kind like, of what is like the next level, I think.
Like, I think one thought process you could say that is exactly what you're saying is the assassins are always going to be the weakest as soon as a meta starts. You give them 3 tournaments and everyone could maybe do, well, why is Azuri not, like, I know Azuri is super good. Why was it not good until August? And it's like, well, you gave us 2 months to figure out the exact 6 cards and the exact patterns. And now it's almost impossible to beat Azuri when they know your game plan. Yeah. And I think that'll be even more so for new of, and now I'm using your blue cards. Like,
yeah,
I thought,
I mean, I think,
yeah, go for it.
I was going to say, it feels like this tournament was very much like a new meta tournament, you know, like
yeah.
The strong new heroes were there and they didn't have to have as many answers for other people because everyone else had to like be adapting to this new gameplay. So the people that could do that did well. The people that could disrupt hands are, you know, good against those kind of aggressive heroes. And then, yeah, I think like Blake was saying, assassins, I think, just generally have more nuance and require a bit more, you know, knowledge of both your deck and the deck you're playing. So I think there's just a slower learning curve to like a more impactful game plan that, you know, will probably reveal itself later. But, you know, it was cool to see. Even though it's like scary when a, you know, red line, I mean, it's not even a red line deck, but like, you know, like just the aggressive deck like comes out and you're just like, oh shit, like this is what now I have to get ready to play against this at everything I go to. But it was cool to see Zen like come out and do it, especially because he seemed like kind of the weaker one on announcement, and even on release, people were still pretty cold on him, it felt like, at least for like a couple days, and then, you know, the scientists got involved and they realized that tigers are crazy.
I think what happened that like broke Zen a little bit, or not broke, but like he's not, I don't think he's broken, I think he flirts the line a little bit, but I think a lot of people were like picking their favorite Transcend cards, you know, like, oh, I run 4. No. Yeah. We figured it out. I have no responsibility.
You put 10 in. Put the Fable in.
You literally, you just slam them all in and like your 4 blue hands, you can like convert and like be above rate with like quad blue hands. And like, it's wild. Like how, if you read Stir the Pot, you're like, how does this do damage or be meaningful at all? And then you play Zen, you're like, oh my gosh, this card's insane.
This card's insane. And you learn it from draft and limited. Like the best Zen decks I've played against and had are the ones where I've gotten plenty of chi cards, you know, where I've got like 5, and then you can just like freaking just fucking blast them.
Yeah.
And sweet. So yeah. That's totally
good
true.
For Zen, man. I think the one thing whenever I went to Battle Hard Las Vegas, when I was playing as Zen in the last round, I was on the offensive. I was doing some stuff, but like he had a round and then he pitched a chi to break his Kasai or 12 pedal and make a Zen token. And now like my go wide strategy as Leviathan, like that after doing all of giving him resources like seven times, it ended up blocking like four damage two turns in a row. And I was like, what is this piece of equipment that's a Carrion Husk plus and then six triggers of a tunic on a turn? I was just like, could you fuck?
It's the most powerful card in the set, in my opinion, is 12 Petal Kasaya. It's absolutely insane.
It's like, nuts.
And when you play all the transcend cards, you get to do the double transcend thing a lot. It's an epot, right? A thing that's supposed to cost you your action point. It's supposed to be a setup. No, it's just free. Oh, and by the way, it blocks. Oh, and by the way, you can still Zen state.
It's his outfit that is so good. Even Shuko, like, you know, the mold of armor or hands even is maybe like two value, right? You can like Shuko six times in a game. Like,
and then block two.
And then block two. That's insane. Like, that's just really, really nuts. So, yeah, the outfit Zen brings to the arena is just like too fire, too much drip.
One thing we were trying to do in our minds to balance it, and this was a stupid thing on the way back from Vegas, would you play Traverse the Universe in Zen if it blocked for zero, but the whole reason is you're blocking to get a chi and it just blocks? Like, yes. Is it that good where you don't even care about it, that it blocks too?
Yes. It's Pouncing Links, right?
Yeah.
And we play like Pouncing Links may as well not block, right? Like, you block with it sometimes, but when you're using Pouncing Links, you're not getting the block value. And Traverse, you get to use both. But yeah, I think you would run the hat and 12 pedal both if they didn't block.
So you're playing at this high level, Zane. And one thing that is different about, we're used to our friend Katsu. Katsu has must hit to do all his triggers. I think a talking point I've seen a whole bunch, but I don't quite understand, is Zen doesn't have to hit on any of his triggers. Is that something where that kind of sucks? Because now, even if I'm a blocking deck, it doesn't really matter. He can always go super wide, even if I'm blocking exactly correct. Or like, what does that mean in your head of like the difference between Katsu and Zen?
Yeah, I think he almost like feels closer to KO, where it's like a little bit more of a numbers game, and it's an aggro deck that doesn't block very well, right? Like, it's an aggro deck with a fridge that doesn't block well. That's more KO than it is Katsu, right? And obviously there's huge differences in what they're doing is differently, but like if you just zoomed out and said, how much did this character block this turn? How much did they deal? Like, KO and Zen like would look fairly similar, because like they're playing towards a yellow card that draws them two cards every turn, or, you know, per turn. They're playing towards, you know, very specific like power turns, right? And I think that Katsu is as well, but he does it differently, where he's trying to manage the tempo, he's trying to pull cards from you, where Zen's just like, you know, numbers go burr.
And tigers go meow.
Meow.
I think it meow for one.
It's probably a good design to come out in the same time as Enigma, where like it's hard to hit Enigma. So maybe it's good that the ninja doesn't need to hit. But yeah, the result is a hero that functionally plays like KO more than he plays like Katsu. Where like mechanically it feels like ninja, but if you like really zoomed out and looked at the game as like, you know, remove the flavor, it's closer to KO.
Maybe the last thing we'll talk about here on the Zen train before we kind of get to maybe the wonderful story that was US Nationals and the US Nationals champ. is, do you think we're going to be having this same conversation in 3 weeks when Nationals is over? Are we still going to be like, yikes, Zen is still really, really clearly on top? Or are we going to have like some things catch up to him? And this goes to everybody.
I'll go first, but yeah, we can go in a circle. But I do think that, like, we already saw it at US Nats of like, do the thing that you do. You know what I mean? Like go all the way in, right? Like when you play East Strike in Azalea, you're kind of like floating the middle, trying to play mid range. No longer. Do the thing. Play more arrows. Lower to the ground, more pumps. What is your hero doing? And like, do it right now. Because Zen will kill you if you don't. And like Kano too, right? Like Kindle, like combo them a turn earlier with a little bit more range. Like it's going to be faster and more extreme, I think. So I think in 3 weeks, we will be having a similar conversation. I do hope that New can slow us down a bit. New in Azuri, and maybe Arachne, but I don't know how Arachne's beating Enigma.
Dude, I appreciate, because I'm on the pod, you give a little nod to Arachne, but let's be real. He's not even close to those other two.
The Enigma matchup is got to be just the worst. But yeah, I hope we can slow it down. There is a small piece of me that is like, another set without ice. Like these heroes aren't going to be disruptive, right? Like none of these four heroes are going to be anything in the vicinity of Lexi, Oldham, Icelander, which to some people is good news, but I do think ice is ultimately good for the game. And when you don't have ice, what you have is Azalea, who is effectively ice, right? Showing up in bigger numbers than we've ever seen.
And maybe we get hamstring shots for every class. Is that like I know we got weakest link this time around. Maybe some of these slot cards are a really powerful effect that also has hamstring shot written on it.
I mean, we need Sand Sour Grape Bow Azalea, because then you get a mobilizing shot also.
Too slow. You send 10 dominate. Zen says thank you very much. Blocks with his armor and kills you.
Shit. I think for a 3 week conversation from now, I think Zen will be first, but it won't be by a lot. I think any country that has 64 or less that has had a Kano playing for 2 or 3 years, that Kano is either going to be in the finals or wins the whole thing, just based on those reps are getting paid off with this Kindle card. And some of these heroes are not great at blocking that. I think we will have the most Kano points ever. I think that'll be a main story of this. And then Azalea is either in the top three. And then I think like KO is probably number two. Like your aggro decks that aren't going to be disrupted either get blown up by KO or get stopped by Azalea. And that's the meta. And then like, there's illusionists, like illusionists have the card pool and the reps as well, but truly what is good into each other when it's Kano versus Enigma? Is it super good on both sides depending on what happens? I think that's, maybe we'll know more about that in 3 weeks. I don't know if that's obvious from our national thing, but that's what I'm kind of taking away from it.
I'm just going to say it. Zane's going to be, not Zane, Zen. Zane, Zen, Zen. Zen's just going to be good. I'll be the pessimist. we'll try to adapt, and then they'll put something else stupid in that you're like, oh, this is also cracked. And then
oh, this like, is also oh. cracked.
We also haven't said Enigma's name enough, I think, in this, how powerful it is.
Dude, Enigma seems crazy.
She is, and needs to be like called out in here as like could very well end up being the best like, deck. I don't think she is, but she'll be close.
It's like Zen is like winning, but Enigma's ruining everybody else this time.
Well, yeah, that was going to be how I was going to tackle this question, was segueing us into kind of what I think are the two stories from Nationals is Aaron Grace, you know, almost goes undefeated through all of Swiss, both drafts and the CC portions on his Enigma deck, and loses in the semifinals. But we really, he got to showcase, you know, a certain take on that deck. And it is like extremely powerful. And I think in a different meta without Enigma, we maybe would see Victor and Bravo around more. And, you know, they have a shit ton of armor that helps block and keep them alive, and then still being able to send like relevant crush effects that they don't want to block, you know. But Enigma is just like pretty miserable. So I don't, we don't have the Guardian representation that maybe we need, but Enigma also might be the answer as well, because that deck is super good. But shout out to Aaron. I really thought he was just going to go freaking whatever it is, 14-0. You know, I think if you're, you know, maybe a person thinking about picking up Enigma, looking at his games, that seems like a very powerful way to play the deck for sure.
Yeah. A little bit more aggressive.
Yeah. And then the other
Phantasmaclasm. That was crazy.
Everybody's on Clasm. Yeah.
Sick. Spicy. Yeah. So spicy, because you don't need poppers. You know? And that's like a big thing. You can't pop, then all of a sudden it's so good. So good. Huge shout out to Evan Herndon, national champ. What an amazing story to be the runner-up last year, then just absolutely crush Classic Constructed at Nationals and make it all the way to the finals again. I have first time ever, maybe in our country, maybe not in other countries, but certainly in ours. And then to win, like, that's a true fucking sports moment right there. Where also shout out to the Boston Celtics, I guess, who just also won the NBA championship, having been to the NBA finals. And then now the winner, you know, it's like the same thing. It's a great story. And
I was thinking that when I saw Evan win, I was like, this is like the Boston Celtics on Monday. So I'm glad you came back around circle on that.
And I think he is also the best interview all weekend. Like, you know, they interview him and he's just like, oh yeah, that's like a pretty routine game. And then what do you got for the mirror? He's like, oh yeah, I'm going to play freaking Zephyr Needle and you'll see how good it is in this next matchup. And you're just like, okay, calling your shots. And then it's just like right away, turn one, just like needle, no blocks, needle, no blocks. Like, boom, got him. Like, you instantly are doing the calculation of like, right, if he freaking blocks and breaks the needles, then his turn is muted. He's just going to take a shit ton of damage. You know, he's just going to have all this tempo. And then, you know, they interview him before the finals. He's like, oh yeah, KO, it's just like a worse Zen deck. And in my testing, I feel really favored, so this should be pretty good, you know, or whatever, basically. And just like wins. And then they interview him again and he's like,
that told you.
Yeah. Chat was flaming you for the needles and shit and blah blah blah. And he was like,
dude.
Yeah. And then I won and they did a lot of work and he even hit the like 20%er out of my hand and my deck still beat him, you know? So like the worst possible things happened and I still won. Like, my deck is pretty good, y'all, you know. And he just was like so calm about it, not even like showboating. And I loved it. Instant fan, my favorite national champion. I'm going to say it right here. Evan Herndon, my favorite national champ.
It's pretty like awesome to be runner up last year and then win this year. Like, that's such a level of consistency across like crazily different metas in the dual format. Like, That's such a wild thing. Do you remember what he played last year? I don't remember what he played.
Lexi.
Okay.
Yeah. Less impressed now, but
he plays good decks, and you know what? You can't blame people for playing to win. But yeah, when I saw the Zephyr Needles both come out, I was like, dude, this guy is fucking onto something. Like, that's yeah. so tight.
I was hearing whispers about it the day before. I was like,
really?
That's pretty cool.
My favorite thing about this weekend with Evan was his deck list goes on Talishar. So I click it to look at it, and it says check results. And you check results, there's like 200 games in on it, and everyone that's been trying it, it's 38% win rate. And it's like, this just won a major tournament, the first major tournament.
11-0.
Nobody can play it.
The lines are weird. I will say, like, identifying what hands are gas takes a second. Like, it's not intuitive like Katsu, where you're like, oh, it's the Surging Strike is in my hand, like, it's go time. It's like, oh, you have two blue Transcend cards. Like, that doesn't look good. It's not like, wow, how exciting.
They do zero damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know, like, what's in your deck, like, and really know, like, what you can do with that. Like, you know, being able to search your deck is so powerful, but also, like, you know, if you don't know what the best thing you could do is right now, like, it's a lot of information to try to, like, parse, and you can do a lot of, like, you know, unoptimal things. But
it's a become the Arknight moment.
Yeah,
you know, where you're like,
except you don't have to lose a card.
Yeah, totally. You're become the Arknight, then makes you three resources.
Yeah,
that's so fucked.
Which is awesome. Yeah, he goes undefeated too on the Zen deck. You
is
know,
that true? I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, his only two losses, he went 2-1 in his two draft pods, and that was
8-0 in Classic Constructed.
I haven't been able to watch much of the coverage, but I'm excited to go back and check it out.
It's good. The coverage is good. I felt like for the majority of the part, like, all the games are good. The level of play is really good. Play is clean. It was great. It was so good.
Top 8 is not good.
Yeah, well, that's like the only low point. Yeah. It's the stream and the games were so good. I was like, fuck, man. I still want to, like, watch Flesh and Blood today. Like, do I just watch it all back? Like, I just wanted to watch more.
Nia loses the finals of The Calling, right? He's crushed. We're talking about it. Like, you know, he's a good sport. He's feeling like, you know, it is what it is. He goes and sits down, and he just starts playing with Oliver. They just start playing. Both of these players just top 8 at The Calling. They just lost. And then they're still just grinding Enigma versus Zen after The Calling's over for no reward, just because the game is good.
Fab is blue.
It does, like, I feel like every time I've played a lot of Flesh and Blood, it's only made me want to play more. Like, I'm rarely like, I need a break. Like maybe I need a rest, but, like, I want to, you know, I want to keep playing. But.
Yeah, I wanted a break of, like, off of Azalea after Saturday. And so I had brought New as well. So I played New on Sunday at Zlat Events and just had a ball. Like, all my games were fun. Like, so many interesting things you can do as New. And yeah, I don't know. Game's good. It's in a good spot. The competitive meta is one thing, but that's not the only thing the game is.
Yeah. That's a great thing to remember.
The game is good. The game is blue. Fab is back.
You don't like CC right now? Build Bento Box. You'll have a great time.
That's what I'm excited about too, of seeing this new, not that we want to go right back to Rosetta, but those are going to be cube things. Like, it'll be Elemental Wizard and Elemental Runeblades. Like, welcome to the fucking show if you want a cube. Like, here's Rosetta of a bunch of Earth and Lightning cards pop out. Throughout all this, though, there was only one game that is the most controversial game, and it was versus an Azalea into an Enigma for round 13. It was a backup game, or we wouldn't have known about it because it was on stream. And so it was Will Bradshaw versus Nathan. I don't know how to say his last name, so I'll just say Nathan L. And it was something where it was like, what is going on? And I heard some people on the ground be like, there was, like, we see the missed Warmonger's trigger because the Enigma player plays a Warmonger And then the next turn does manifestations into weapon swing. And that was like, no, 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 no. And I think Bradshaw goes down to like one health from that. And it was like, did the health get returned to him? Did we get an IP penalty? Okay, we're told on the stream, because it's all happening in super fast time of like 3x time of the stuff's going down. Okay, we got to the stop. They're actually still doing this game because there was a second judge call. And so then we know that there's an IP penalty. And then the Enigma player draws four cards anyway, is what my understanding was of it, of we blew through our IP penalty. And then the end all be all of this is there's a blood rot that comes in and probably does lethal, but is ignored somehow. And Will Bradshaw takes the loss, hands over the handshake, but then this gets reversed. There was an apology on Twitter. And I think the reason why I'm saying all this stuff, and like, it's not exposing people to feelings. It's just more of like you played 14 rounds once at a pro tour. I think there was some thought process of like, these people are so tired. And something that just pops into my head when there's like the idea of this person's so tired, it's at the end of the day, it's really hard to remember all your triggers. It's really hard to remember all, like, at what point does this go from like, is this malicious? We didn't think so. But like, when a judge hands you an IP penalty and you draw four cards, is that a thing where it's like, is there anything besides, oh, you're accidentally cheating again after you've just been admonished by a judge? Like, I don't know if we see like, oh, I misplayed my warmongers. Is that cheating? Is drawing four cards cheating? Is missing the blood rot lethal cheating? Or is it I'm tired? And I think there's just something as we get deeper into our game of it's year five, like leaving that up to judge discretion is really interesting to me, instead of like, I hope we can get this squared away of if we're going to be playing seven rounds 2 days in a row, like what is in, oh, I was tired. And like, if I get to round 13, I should just do whatever the hell I want and hope I don't get called. I'm never going to be in a round 13, but that's just where my head goes because I work in reality TV and people take advantage of people. And that's not relevant right now, but like, it would be like, if I want to be dastardly and angle shooty, it seems like round 13 is a perfect time to be like, oh, I forgot I couldn't Zen hero power twice and my opponent didn't catch it.
There is a policy, thankfully. And it does sound like what happened in this game. And again, I have not watched the game. I haven't watched the coverage. I don't know fully. It sounds like what would happen in this game would be you would get multiple warnings. And I think if it's like literally two warnings, like you get a game loss. Like, for example, the warmongers that we missed in my game, I got a warning because I failed to maintain the game state. So even though like my opponent took the game action, like, and his was more severe, obviously it's like how he got an IP2, but each of these things that you called out, you know, assuming like that, you know, each of them is warning worthy, which it sounds like they are, like the warmongers one we know is, that sounds like it would end up, you know, being cumulative to a game loss. If that didn't happen, I don't know those side of the rules very well, but I do know that there is a policy, and maybe it wasn't properly enforced here, but I don't know, it's tricky, it's a complicated problem to solve, but I do think that there is framework. I just don't know if it was fully,
yeah. I think my actual question, let me put out a question to the Twitter sphere or whoever's listening to us, of I think it's a little more egregious when you blow through your own warmonger of like, I'm choosing a decision to do the peace treaty or the war treaty, and I'm going to forget about that less than a game turn later, is kind of like, what's going on, bud? When you forget your own warmonger, I completely understand the like, oh, I forgot. I don't play warmonger in my actual deck. So I could remember, oh yeah, I can't use my arm piece to put the arrow in because it's so different of like, okay, but I can use my weapon action. I can understand that. But like in your case, the Zen
plays three Warmer Wongers in a row, and you're like, bud, like, do you even understand the card that you're playing? Do you not care? Are you hoping your opponent just doesn't remember? Like, what is going on in that mindset? And I'm wondering if we're 5 years in, these are very competitive tournaments where it's like, we can't say, oh, I forgot that Warmonger does that, even if we're in round four of those calling, or if we're in round 13 of something else, being like, oh yeah, isn't good enough of like, here's your penalty, and if you mess up one more time, you lose. I don't know if that was a question at the end of that.
I didn't hear a question, but
it was a classic thing. Like, I'm going to ask you a question, and then you just said what you wanted to say.
Okay, take all that out. Take all that. If you play a warmonger, like, I think the idea of if you play your own warmonger and blow through your warmonger, should it be worse than if you mess up your opponent's warmonger?
It should be worse. Yes.
Yeah.
In my mind.
And then, but that's the weird part too, is like, how many examples of that do we have in the game? Like, how many other cards make that type of interaction that you can?
Like, Bleak Expanse is the only other parallel thing.
Yeah.
And like, maybe some that are coming out in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Does that just mean that it's a bad design because it presents itself as like a very difficult thing to maintain the board, you know, the state of the game, because both players have to make this decision, then they both have to remember that it's there, and it completely like halves like your ability to do what you normally do, and seemingly very regularly causes issues where, you know, things progress to a point where it's like either so far gone that you can't reverse it, and like, you know, you have to like impose these crazy penalties. Like, to me, that just flags it as like, this is a bad design and maybe a card shouldn't be in the game anymore.
I agree. And here's what I would say is different than every other card. Any other card that has a decision like this or whatever, we represent with a token, and we never got a war token and we never got a peace token. And if Warmonger and Dust Till Dawn had, here's a war, here's a peace, and we had specific game-made stuff, not tokens that we buy from Metal Fab, not things we made, drew ourselves. If it was, where is your game from Fab, yeah, war token, I don't think we'd have this problem.
That's a kind of clean fix.
I agree with that 100%. But also ban Warmongers. Like, the card is icky.
Or I'm quitting everything.
Warmongers is icky. Get it out of here.
Great. All right. We fixed it.
Great job. Well, on that mid note, this has, I think, been a great episode. And it's just an exciting time. Flesh and Blood is just so, has been such a fucking banger for,
we should make a all podcast
of for like all of 2023 and seemingly all of 2024. So,
you know, we gotta say it, the GOAT, Brian Gottlieb, maybe he's doing a pretty good job. Do you like us now, Brian?
Should we shout out my dad this time too?
Of like, yeah, can we?
We're just shouting out everyone else that's terrorized me before. Father's Day was yesterday. Ugh. Shout out.
And pretty good. No.
Yeah. Like and subscribe, you know, shout the Attack Action Podcast, etc. Appreciate you three.
If you see Taylor in person, recognize him.
And ask to see his new tattoo.
Summer Boy. Yeah.
You'll see it. It's on his neck. It's of my
Here's
face.
Another spoiler. So it'll be, think it's me. It'll be obvious that I have a tattoo.
Well,
getting your eyebrows done.
Yeah. Getting permanent little freckles, but the freckles are the defense and attack power and
intellect.
Resources.
Intellect. Yeah.
Yeah. Intellect also.
Cilio is 5 intellect. Let's go. Okay.
Did you see that, Zane?
Wait. Oh, the little that with superior intellect?
Yeah. Anyways.
He doesn't have feet. He can't wear Storm Striders.
That's what it's going to be. Fuck, he has no feet. So
right. I didn't come up with that. Leg. I think that was Majin. Shout out Majin.
Wow, what a funny guy. Yeah.
Shout out my mom. Yeah.
Stop shouting out your freaking parents, dude.
Sorry. Shout out Blah Blah Karaoke.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Happy birthday to you.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.